can I tell you what I realized though? I made being a good friend an idol.
That's a thing.
Friendship an idol.
Oh, that's good.
Because I felt like I was good at it.
Yeah.
I am so good at anticipating the needs of others.
Yeah. In this culture, everybody wants to claim that they're like low maintenance friends, but none of us are low maintenance.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, yeah. We want to feel seen.
Yeah.
We want to feel validated.
Yeah.
We want people to show us that we're heard. And yeah. We're cared for.
My friend is not just my friend. That's a calling. That's a purpose.
They
and I can't treat
they
that.
Don't become common because we broke up.
Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of In Totality. I'm your host, Megan Ashley. And today I have a very special guest who gathered me all the way together. She got me all the way together with her new book, The Mean Girl Manual. So welcome, Trinity Mitchell.
Thank you, sis.
Thanks for coming.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy you're here.
I thought I was done being outside until I got a call from you. So here we go.
Stop it.
We're outside once more.
I'm so happy that you're here. We caught you because this is your last trip before.
This is my last trip.
She said, this is it. My doctor said, I cannot go nowhere else. This is it. Yes. So I'm so thankful that God allowed us to do this before you were about to be, you know, nesting.
Yes.
Are you excited?
I'm super excited. It's been a really great pregnancy. It's been so good that it's gone by fast.
Yeah.
So fast.
I feel like when I saw you on Instagram, you weren't pregnant the very first. And then all of a sudden you were, you know, in the gym. I can't believe you. When I say you encourage me so much to work out, and Nona, I'm looking at y'all work out every day and I'm like, I have no excuse. I just
you
don't.
You gotta get up in this mood.
I know. Yeah, I need an accountability person. That's usually Brandy would be like, go to the gym, but I need like a trainer.
Yeah,
I can't be left
sometimes
to myself.
It's required because I have a trainer too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a certified trainer, but I also have a trainer.
Wow.
Because I just like to that she increases the intensity of my workouts. She's my best friend. She increases the intensity of my workouts, and it just makes it, to be honest, we all have those moves where we're like, we don't want to do this. Like, I don't feel like this. So I have to show up anyway on those days.
Yeah.
So that really helps me.
Trinity, I will sit in a parking lot for an hour and a half.
Girl, I can't.
I'm not joking you.
That's so funny.
I will find every email to respond.
Genetics, maybe. But yeah, I don't have them.
Listen. I'm what you call, I'm going to show you my before pictures.
Okay.
I used to be really thick and big mama.
Okay.
I was hippie, curvy, all those things, right? And when my marriage was just falling apart and towards the end, I just went into a really bad depression and I dropped so much weight.
Yeah.
So I went from like close to hitting like 180 to 130 to 125 in the matter of like 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
It was like really drastic.
Yeah.
And so I have taken advantage of that weight loss.
Yeah.
But I'm like the skinny fat. Like, I'm small, but I'm so unhealthy. I need to get in the gym. I need to get in the gym. So I'm gonna just keep watching your videos and just
see watching, just does something.
Literally quicken my spirit or something. I need him to quicken me. When I watch your videos, I need him quick. But I'm so excited that you're here because you wrote a book that I truly believe it will change everybody's life who has female friendships.
I received it.
Like, it is a game changer.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying that.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I wouldn't say it if I didn't. I would be like, oh, it was cute.
Yeah, you like me.
No. I was like, your book is so cute.
Yeah, that's sweet.
It's right. But no.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sorry, you guys, it's not out. She blessed me with the audio.
Yes.
It's not out yet. And when it comes out, I'm going to promote it because
I appreciate you.
The audio was like, I told you, it was like listening. It was like talking to my big sis.
Yeah, yeah.
or my cousin, mm-hmm. it was so like relatable, and it was so good.
Yeah.
So tell me, just first of all, tell me about yourself. Who is Trinity Mitchell? And then we can get into all the things about the book.
I am Trinity Mitchell, everybody. And I like to go by your friend, Trin, because when the Lord gave me this assignment, he said, people need a friend. And so since he had dealt with me so much in that area, I don't know, I was at work. I work for an online prayer ministry. It's known as Warrior Nation. And I was showing some products that we had in our store, Warrior Apparel. And when it wrapped up, the Lord had already been dealing with me as it pertains to like transitioning, like who I show up as mm-hmm. and people's lives and who he called me to be. And so, I don't know, I wrapped up that segment with, all right, y'all, I'm your friend Trin or something. And I looked at Brian. I'm like, what is that?
I love it.
Yeah. And I feel like God was just giving me an inkling about go. Like, you've been writing about it. You've been teaching it. You've been like, you know, you've been spending this time with me. I want you to trust me that I'm calling you to something else. And so I just trusted it and I started walking in it. It's been a beautiful journey. I think the best part about embracing this part of my life is also having Brandon as my husband. Because I see so many women as they like step into like who God has really called them mm-hmm. to be. And, you know, like I think too, you've been married. You know, like who I am, we got married in 2014. It's 2024. I'm not the same Trinity. Mm-hmm. Brandon's not the same Brandon, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think too, like as we like move and navigate into deeper chapters of our lives, it's hard for us to embrace each other's evolution. Mm-hmm. But Brandon has been like the husband that's like, you got to do what God told you to do. You got to go.
That's a blessing.
And so I've been really appreciative of that because I don't think that, you know.
That's not the norm.
Yeah. I don't think that I'd be your friend, Trin, and doing everything that I'm doing if I didn't have him.
Wow.
Even with my talk show, Friend Fusion, I told him what God said. And then I didn't think he was going to do what God said. Like, he did too much. Like, can we be disobedient for at least 24 hours? So I remember getting home that evening and Brandon had a meeting. And he had people in my, here's the thing. People don't know this about me. It's like, I'm such a loner.
I am too.
Yeah. And I know my personality makes you think that I'm always with the people I want. Like, I want to be outside. I don't.
Are you an introvert?
I'm really not.
Okay.
I'm not an introvert. I just like being alone. Yeah.
Which is interesting because you grew up with siblings, right? You're the only girl.
I like to be alone. Yeah. So. PTSD.
And you were the only girl.
Yes. I have 7 brothers.
How is that?
I like to be alone. So I got home this particular evening and my friend Phil was there. Phil produces Friend Fusion with Brandon. And I had a call with another friend and Brandon had a team, a committee, like, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And I'm like, what? I just told you this today. Why do I have a website? Why do I, bro? Like, chill.
I love it.
But so that's been really beautiful and just embracing this part of Trinity. I don't know if I could have really done it without my husband.
Yeah.
So really, really grateful for him. But yeah, Meg, to just be honest with you, I just really enjoy teaching people to friend the way that God calls us to. I think it's a term that people use so loosely. And
I think social media did that to us.
Absolutely.
Because we just friends with everybody
Absolutely.
Now. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then also, too, not just having a real understanding of what a friend is. But I think in the Holy Spirit teaching me how to friend, right? I think one thing he brought to my attention is that a friend will stick closer than a brother.
Ooh.
And that's not often how we think about friends. And so that changed my whole perspective on friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to say that I think the best family members are the people that we're not related to oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really changed how I show up as a friend. And it's definitely helped me with my perspective on who I consider as a friend.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, that's who I am. I'm just a girl that I just love God. I love my man, Brian. And I love being a friend.
Aww. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could tell.
Yeah.
Like, if you just, and make sure you guys follow her on Instagram. Your friend Trin.
Yep.
On Instagram.
Yep. Your friend Trin underscore.
Underscore. Yeah. Because you definitely get that mm-hmm. from your content mm-hmm. and you can tell the things that are important to you
mm-hmm.
just by what you post
yes.
and the way that you articulate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell the things that are important to you. So I don't want to spoil the book, okay. but I want to get into all the things because when I say this book.
I don't think that we can spoil it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because can you share? So the first thing that obviously like rendered my attention mm-hmm. and so much empathy was the story about you and your best friend.
Yeah.
So can you share with us in the audience just a little bit about that? Because was it that relationship that revealed that there were some mean girl qualities Absolutely. In you? Okay.
Absolutely. So it was, where do I want to start? So my best friend's name is Kalisha. Kalisha's passed away now. Her 33rd birthday would have been February 15th.
Wow.
Yeah.
This year?
This year.
Wow. When did she pass away?
2024.
Okay.
So she was 2014, I'm sorry.
2014.
And she was 23.
Wow.
So let me just give you, so you talked about my fitness. So let me tell you how I got into that. Kalisha passed away. We got married in June, Brandon and I. She passed away in September. And from September to December, I gained about 40, 45 pounds. I didn't even know who I was. Yeah. I was thick, 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 friend. But, you know. And I don't use that loosely. I was thick, thick, thick. So I went to my annual appointment, and my doctor was like, yeah, this is not good, especially in this time range. Like, you got to do something. So that's kind of how I got into fitness.
Wow.
Because I realized I was allowing myself to pass away with Kalisha. Does that make any sense? I remember feeling this guilt when the year changed to 2015, like I was leaving her. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to really describe the depression. But I remember when the year changed to 2015, it was like this sense of guilt, like I was leaving her because she died in 2014. I really don't know how to explain it. And it was so hard for me to just get past it. It was mm-hmm. so hard for me to... I don't know if I have a language for it yet. That was the darkest time of my life, period. And to be honest with you, it ended up being the darkest time of my life because I was disobedient. Yeah. I decided that, you know, in this fight that Kalisha and I had, that I was going to play her to the limb, ghost her, play around with her, because she had did some things that disappointed me. And I decided, you know what? Since you want to play with me, I want to teach her a lesson. You know what I mean? I really want to teach her a lesson. And to just give you guys a little backstory and history, she had chronic asthma. And so we had been friends practically our whole lives, like probably since we were like 5. And so she had chronic asthma, and she would often have asthma attacks. She would go on life support. She would have to learn how to walk again. It was just bad. Like, it was just bad. Her doctors had even suggested that she should move away from Mississippi and go somewhere where her lungs would function at a better capacity, so to speak. And so, but she never did. She stayed. And she just had a lot of ongoing health issues with just breathing. It changed her voice. Like, she went from talking like this to like this. Yeah. And I remember the time before her last time, I guess I would call it an episode when she went on life support. She was on life support about 2 weeks at that time, babe, Brandon. And I had just moved to Jackson, Mississippi, fresh out of college. Mm-hmm. And so, she was coming to go to grad school and I was coming to go to grad school. We had our, like, we were going to do this thing, right? And so I think our registration was the same day. And I went to Mississippi College in hopes of registering to get my master's in vocal pedagogy. And then she wanted to go to MILSAP.
What is that?
Vocal ped. It teaches
I can't move past that. I'm over here nodding like,
It's basically the practice of the voice. Teaching.
Okay.
So my undergrad degree is in music.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I love the voice. Like, okay. I love the voice so much. I'm a musician too. Like, you know, so I just thought that this would be a great time. I could stay in the same city as Brandon and I can pursue this, right? Mm-hmm. I just love taking care of people's voices. It's always been my thing. I hate when a singer is not well, right? Like, I'm not the best singer. I can get the job done, but I have this thing where I can tell you what to do. I don't even get it. So I thought vocal ped would be like for me. But anyway, long story made short, we didn't make it to registration that day. Neither one of us. We didn't go because Kalisha had an asthma attack. And when she had the asthma attack, that led her into a long recovery. I think it was about 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
And so I went to work. Brandon went to work during her recovery. But her mom was like in a space where she was having to like take off work to take care of Felicia, so to speak. But at the same time, you know, this life is life, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't work, you don't have insurance for your child.
Right.
You know? And so we were like, you go to work, we're going to help her recover. We're going to take her to her appointments, all the things. And so during that time, she told me that year, I think it was like March or April, she's like, listen, when I get this sick again, I'm going to die. And I just want you to know, you know? And it was really hard for me to hear. I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't speak that.
Right. You're like, rebuke.
Yeah. So like, girl, don't say that, right?
Don't say that.
She's like, I'm telling you, my body is so weak. This is my seventh time on life support this way. And I can't, she's only at that time 23. So she's like, you know, my body just can't take this anymore. I just feel it. I just know. And so we left that conversation alone. Like, whatever. So we get married. Felicia's definitely possessive, like super possessive. And it's like, my best friend's getting married and I'm over this, period. And so I was just kind of disappointed with some of the things she did. They were childish. They were petty. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to teach her a lesson. Mm-hmm. And if I could leave anything with the people watching today, when I tell you, you cannot teach a lesson, don't worry about it. Because you're going to end up like learning the lesson.
you're going to be the lesson.
Yeah.
All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, Toyota is doing big things helping grassroots community organizations across the country with its Nudge campaign. The Nudge campaign reflects Toyota's commitment to supporting and furthering the success of those who need it most. A few months ago, Toyota debuted the After the Nudge podcast. The podcast is a 7-episode limited series hosted by acclaimed journalist Soledad O'Brien and former NBA All-Star J.R. Smith. It features conversations with community organizations that Toyota Nudge via $10,000 in micro grants. We get to find out what happens after the nudge. On the After the Nudge podcast, you'll hear from the founders and leaders like Polana Lamonier from Black People Will Swim, Dr. Khalid El Hakim from the Black History 101 Mobile Museum, Demetrius Harris from Fly Compton Foundation, and others. Learn how a simple nudge from Toyota helped boost their momentum, amplify their movements, and or propelled them to greater heights. Look for the Toyota After the Nudge podcast on Toyota.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, back to the show.
Yes, absolutely.
That's usually how the Lord does it. It's absolutely. Like, oh, you want to teach somebody a lesson? Yeah. Let me teach you something.
And she actually did. She came to me. When I went to her, because I'm not the kind of person, I'm not like, what you say about me, period, because I'm not doing that caring on. I'm not passive aggressive. I'm aggressive, period. And so I went to her and I asked her about it, and she was just the person she always was, honest. She's like, oh, yeah, I did that. And she apologized and she, you know, and everything. But it just hurt me that it was just the fact that she had like done it or she had said it. And it's so crazy because it's so trivial that I can't even remember everything.
What?
Like real petty stuff, you know? And you got to remember, like, and I'm not making an excuse for friends or whatever, but at this point, we're 23. Mm-hmm. I'm getting married. I'm the first of my friends getting married, you know? So this is all new for everybody. And it's like, yeah. And I'm to myself in this petty ass, I don't even know. Just, I really can't remember. Just petty stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when she told me and she was honest about it, it upset me because I just can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
You know, at that time I thought I was that girl. I would never do that to you.
Right.
I would never say something so catty.
Right.
But, you know, and will, and would. And so It upset me. And so I decided that I was just not going to communicate with her. Right. And so I didn't necessarily like ghost her, but I ghosted her. Mm-hmm. And so when she would text me to say, can we talk? Can we sit down and talk? Can we, you know, work through this? I'm going to text her back. I'm going to wait. I'm like, I was so intentional. I was intentionally petty. Like, I'm going to wait like 6 hours.
Not 6 hours.
Or I'm going to text her back next week, or to the point I might forget. Right. And so like finally, I think about 2 or 3 weeks went by. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was convicting me for doing it and that I should meet with her. So I said, okay, we can go talk. Like, we can go talk. So
I told her. But she's still reaching out, even though you were being like,
yes.
Okay.
She was still reaching out. And so I decided I would meet with her, excuse me, eventually. And so we scheduled that we were going to meet. And I think the day before we were actually scheduled to meet, her mom texted me and said that she was in ICU. And yeah, everything had just that it was that within a week, maybe not even a full week, she had passed away. And that was when I started to see, like, life is short. And I let something like this, like, really get the best of me, get the best of my friends. This is like my lifelong friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Brandon and I was just talking this morning about how sometimes we have seasons been up with people. And then it's like the people that have experienced life with you for real, like, do our seasons end or do we just learn to just be different in this season?
And yeah.
I don't think that neither of us knew how to be different in that season.
Yeah.
I think I had a lot of failures as a friend just navigating into marriage, where she may have felt excluded. And then I think there were some things that she just didn't know how to accept and embracing my new season as like a wife and also her best friend. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Her Brandon's best friend and her best friend, you know? And so things that we could have, you know, worked through, talked through, you know, but I decided to just be mad.
Yeah.
And it literally led me into the darkest depression of my life. So much that, like, I remember when Brandon and I got married, she died in September. So we got married in June. I remember sometime after that, I just wanted the lights off.
Mm.
I can't even explain it now. I did not want to see light though.
Wow.
I
understand because I've been through a depression. Mm-hmm. So I understand that, and it's hard to explain, but you just want to be in an environment that's conducive to what you're feeling on the inside, and light so isn't true. Conducive to that.
Yeah. And it was not at all.
Yeah.
And so all I wanted to do was eat and keep the lights off. I'm good. I'm sure. I just stay in my room. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be bothered. Like, yeah. And so,
And man,
I think that relationship helped me to discover, that I wasn't the friend I thought I was. I was also very prideful. I was never the one that could have been doing something wrong. Somebody was always doing something to me, right? And even when somebody was doing something to me, I still didn't consider how I contributed to the issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a wake-up call for me.
Yeah.
Big time wake-up call for me.
Wow.
I really don't feel like I fully recovered from that loss and that experience until about probably 2018, 2019.
Wow.
And that's when the Lord and we started doing friendship together, like, for real.
Mm.
And I think in my time with him and just prayer, fasting, like, intentional time with him, is when he used that relationship to create what everybody know now as your friend. I heard you saying earlier that you're so jacked up, like, I'm trash. Yeah. But I think he...
That's me all day.
Yeah. He's took me on this journey to treasure my trash. Yeah, it's been beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long do you feel like it took you? Because you said that you guys were supposed to meet a day before.
Yeah, literally the day before.
The day before you guys were supposed to meet is where
she was supposed to meet the next day, and then her mom texted me. So if we were supposed to meet on Monday, her mom texted me on Sunday. So that's how long I kept playing around, I guess. Yeah.
And so that week of her being in ICU before she passed, was she able to communicate? Like, were you guys able to say, I'm sorry?
Nothing.
And so how did you...
only imagine, you know what I mean? With no last words, with no, like, it's okay, I forgive you, or whatever. It's just like... Because I remember going to her apartment and asking her about the things that were said to me, and she told me. And she's like, I'm sorry. You know, she was very apologetic and everything. She took accountability, but I was just so mad. I'm like, bro, I'm gone. Yeah, I'm like, I'm out. And it's so funny now because I would never handle someone like that now. But yeah, that was kind of how it ended.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is a person who's my maid of honor. I have a stepson, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler was about 6 when me and Brandon started dating. And so she was Tyler's auntie for me.
Mm-hmm.
She was the person that would, for if anything, we needed, like, navigated from him being picked up and brought to Jackson on the weekends or something like that. She became that auntie.
And you don't think about that. Like, obviously, I didn't really have to. I had a situation in 2021 where I had to fire Mm-hmm. My kid's nanny, who was like a sister to me, like we have two matching tattoos.
Wow.
She was, and she did something foul. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people realize that, like, when you have friendship breakups and stuff mm-hmm. like that, how it impacts your children.
Mm.
And as a mother, not only are you losing a friend,
mm-hmm.
but those yes. kids lost something too.
Absolutely.
And when you don't have kids, like the other person, if they don't have kids, they're not aware of like the impact mm-hmm. that it has on your children too.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, not only did I lose somebody, but they lost somebody absolutely. That they love too.
They're asking about their auntie or something. Like, yeah, that's
the and it's like, that. You know,
yeah.
and it's like, this is, they don't look at the relationships in the sense of something petty
mm-hmm.
could end this, you know, they don't, right. They like, that's family, that's my aunt, right? They don't, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't think that we, you know, take that in consideration sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
In the ending of mm-hmm. a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think last year really taught me just that lesson
mm-hmm.
of the wrong ways to end a relationship and the right ways.
Yes, because there is a right
and because there is a right and absolutely. A wrong way
yeah.
to end
mm-hmm.
or maybe change
yeah.
the dynamic in that friendship.
Yeah.
So what would your... The book talks about, and again, like this book is going to change
mm-hmm.
so many people's lives if they listen to it and grab a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told you before we got started, I was like, I had to pray before listening to it
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to be triggered.
Yeah.
And if I was going to be triggered, I wanted God's help.
Yeah.
Like, God help me. Mm-hmm. Right. And I wanted to see me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go into it picking and pointing the finger at yeah. everybody else
yeah.
and like, oh, yeah, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
Little Miss right. Petty.
Yeah.
Little Miss. What was the other one? They got the right one.
Oh, yeah. Little Miss, you got the right one.
Little Miss, you got the right one. So I didn't want to go into like, yep, that's that person,
yeah.
that person. I wanted to be like, Lord, you know, reveal me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Talk about a bready go-to meal you don't eat as often as you like because of bread guilt or health concerns or carb fear mongering. Listen, I know carb fear is real. But have you ever noticed that carb-heavy foods are often the ones that we love the most? Hero Bread makes these same delicious favorite free of consequence or compromise. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugars, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. Some of my favorites are the Hero Seeded Bread and the Hero Flour Tortillas for BLT. Savory breakfast burritos are mouth-watering cheeseburgers. With 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 sugar, high in fiber, this bread is delicious and has a great texture, guys. The seeds are flavorful and the crust is tasty as well. There's something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, and buns. With Hero Bread, you don't have to give up your love for bread. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your orders. So go to hero.co and use code TOTALITY at your checkout. That's TOTALITY at hero.co. All right, guys, back to the show. Okay, are you that one friend in the group that loves to treat yourself? It's okay. Honestly, we all do. You know, get a pedicure, opt for the extra 10-minute massage with the green tea-infused lotion, refuse to make coffee at home because the fancy coffee shop is right downstairs. Maybe you opt for extra legroom on the seat on the plane because your vacation starts right now. Well, if you treat yourself to the top options with everything else in life, then why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health after all. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors, all with verified patient reviews. Don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. We're talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for the ones that take your insurance, locate it near you, and treat
almost every and any condition you're searching for. These doctors all have verified reviews from actual real patients, not robots. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments, guys. You can find the doctor you want and book them immediately with just a few app taps. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. I use ZocDoc and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/totality and download the ZocDoc app for free and find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/totality. ZocDoc.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show.
You know, show me my heart and show me areas where I need to be better as a friend. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because when I went through the situation that I went through last year, I realized that our relationships with people and how we interact with them, mm-hmm. we try to make it separate from our relationship with the Lord.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah.
It's a reflection
of our relationship,
of our reverence and our relationship with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you offend your brother mm-hmm. or sister, it's not just an offense to them.
Yeah.
But you, like when we're mean, when uh-huh. we're mean girls, we're not just mean to them, but that's an offense with the Lord.
Absolutely.
Because that is the one that he loves.
Yes.
That is the one that he got on that cross for.
Right.
So who, like, how dare I mishandle the one that he loves?
Yes.
And there was so much conviction in it.
Yes. And I think, too, like, I think when we have issues with people, we're so often focused on what God thinks about us and not so much what God thinks about them.
Yeah.
And, like, when I tell you I've learned my lesson, like, God is going to stand 10 toes down. He is. Okay. So just as much as he loves you, he loves her. So when you're talking about her, when you're sowing those seeds of discord, trying to gather the people to the other people around y'all to not like her.
Can you talk about that? Because what is that?
You know, there's
like, okay, so let me ask you this. I'll just give you a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you are going to be the friendship guru.
We're
going
that.
To make sure, and I'm going to try to do everything I can to advocate for this. If there is an offense,
mm-hmm.
so me and Brenda.
Yeah.
Right? Me and Brenda friends. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Brenda. It's like, what did I do? I'm just minding my business. Sorry, Brenda. So me and Brenda are friends,
mm-hmm.
right? And Brenda and I have a falling out.
Mm-hmm.
And Brenda goes and tells you, you can't be friends with her if you're friends with me.
Yeah. So first of all, girl, I'm grown. Number one, we're not doing that. So that's
okay. Because
a lot of times,
if you've experienced something negative, some people think that it's triggering. So maybe Brenda feels like it's triggering for her
uh-huh.
because you guys are such close friends. So she doesn't want you to be friends with me because it's triggering, or maybe because Brenda had a very negative experience from me mm-hmm. with me, and she doesn't want her friend.
Yeah.
Tran to experience the same thing with me.
I think each experience in these things is different, right? It's definitely different
mm-hmm.
because things would change drastically if. Okay, so just give you this one: if you and Brenda are friends, Brenda's dating this guy, and she find out you've been DMing this guy,
mm-hmm.
and she tell me about it, yeah, I can be cool on you. Yeah, real quick, I can be cool on you mm-hmm. because. Not because, like, I'm going to create a problem because she has a problem with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. Like, you're not my enemy mm-hmm. because whatever. It's just in the sense that if you're willing to...
Character.
Yeah, mm-hmm. character. If you're willing to do that to your... That's your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you consider her your friend.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't too much. You know, like, I ain't going to be, you know, before right. something happens with me.
Right.
Right? And so I think, you know, each experience is different.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, like, things like, well, Brendan, I want to hear what you got to say. So she mad. But Brenda's upset that your life is taking off in a way that she's been hoping that hers would take off.
Mm.
So she's projecting. Like, she's upset, right? She's insecure. And so her issues with you are really the issues she has with herself, within
mm-hmm.
herself. And she's making her internal problem something external.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time she sees Meg is reminding her of something that she does not feel secure about.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so when she comes to me, it's not my responsibility to say, oh, yeah, yeah, well, let's be good on Meg. It's my responsibility as that friend. And I'm talking to the friends, the the mutual friend who is often not a good friend, you know, I'm just going to stay mutual, you know. Mm-hmm. You have a responsibility to say, Meg is not your issue. I know that you think so. I get it. But I don't think Meg is your issue. And I'm not going to make Meg my issue because she's your issue. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if that means a person don't want to be your friend, oh, well. But I think we have a responsibility to be accountable for how we show up in people's lives, too. I think this society, everybody wants everybody to agree with them, bro. Like, everybody wants, please agree with me. Validate me. You know, nobody's saying, yo.
So much so that people will end relationships.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I touched on this a little bit, and you can elaborate on what you feel, because I was like, you know, because when you said the Mean Girl manual, you were like, I can't believe this. Like, I thought this was elementary, middle school, high school. Like, I didn't believe that mean girls really existed in our adulthood. Yeah. And they absolutely do.
Yes.
Real
bad.
Absolutely.
Real bad. Shout out to you, Miami.
Like, and it's crazy. I don't think I really experienced it as much as I did. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is really a thing. But I feel like when we're in high school and in middle school, like, we don't have these heavy things, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, if you're not bringing joy to my life, if this isn't easy, then yeah, then you, like, in the relationship when you're in high school and middle school. But as grown people, I don't know if people are willing to, like, weather seasons.
Yes.
You know, like, for me, and I take full accountability. I've said this before, like, I wish I didn't bleed on my friends as much as I did when I was going through the darkest times of my life. Mm-hmm. I wish I didn't. I wish I kept some things to myself. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have leaned into intimacy with the Lord more than intimacy with my friends.
Oh, that's good.
Especially when I was hurting.
That's so beautiful. You confirming something that I was so funny. I told Brandon this morning, I said, it's so weird that I'm thinking about this. Maybe this is supposed to happen in the interview. I'm like freaked out right now. So I'm not a preacher like you and Brenda, but
don't say me and Brenda.
I was reading in 2 Kings and having a conversation with my god brother Terrence, and this is so funny. I was talking about how often, and it started coming to me yesterday morning, right? And I had no reason to be thinking about this. I knew the Holy Spirit was, you know, talking to me, and so my initial thought was, we have to stop placing God's responsibility on people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that people don't have the capacity; people don't have the ability. Right? Brenda. So
I mean, I was saying Brenda the whole episode. Now I'm saying
And
that's so good.
To be honest with you, Meg, when that came to me, I start thinking about how often we do that and how often we're frustrated, perplexed, really distraught, disappointed with life because Trinity is such a joyful person. Like, you know, when Trinity's around me, I feel happy. So now Trinity's responsible for my happiness. Yeah. Because I feel peace when I when I'm with Meg, right? It's chill. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel so much anxiety. Now Meg's responsible for my peace, right? And so we find ourselves in friendships holding people to a certain standard that they shouldn't be held to, and then blaming them when they can't fulfill something. Like, so what I'm saying is, people can't fill your voids. Mm-mm. And I think this makes us such bad friends. I think a lot of us, and please hear my heart to my friends watching, because I don't want to offend anybody. But when I say this, I think a lot of us are bad friends in the sense that we want people to be good in a way they aren't able to be good. Right? We're all human.
Yep.
And that means that we all have a limit. Like, God puts super on our natural.
Yeah.
But we're not super natural.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
So, you know, people can't fill your voids. People can't be your peace. People can't be your joy. People can't, you know, do that for you. And when I just thought about some of the friendship breakups that I've had, where I feel like, because I'm saved, because I'm kind of like strong in the sense where I think too, as friends, sometimes we forget that people are strong because His strength is made perfect where we are weak. I'm not really that strong.
I'm really
like, sis, settle down.
I am really actually not that strong.
Yeah.
But can I tell you what I realized though?
Yeah.
I made being a good friend an idol.
Mm.
I made
that's a thing.
Friendship an idol.
Oh, that's good.
Because I felt like I was good at it.
Yeah.
I am so good at anticipating the needs of others.
Yeah.
I don't believe that I'm just good at it. I believe God gave me that. God gifted me with that. It's not because I'm just whatever. God gave that to me. And I think it's a part of who he called me to be and what he's called me to do. I can anticipate the needs of others.
Absolutely.
I can see a need.
Uh-huh.
And you don't even need to ask. Mm-hmm. I know how to make a day. I know how to make a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to give you what you, I know how to be there for, and I made it an idol.
Yeah, I get it.
I wrapped my identity in being a bestie.
Yeah.
Because it was the only way I felt validated. It was the only way I finally felt like I'm good at it.
Yeah.
I'm seen in this.
Right, right, right.
And it became an idol.
Yeah.
And we know what God does with idols.
Right, exactly.
He brings it down because he wants to be the number one, the main thing, the main attraction, the main focus, the main, like. And I surpassed God in all these ways because I made this, position an idol.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize that we can do that. We can make friendships.
It's so true. And I was writing down these notes. And when I finished, the question the Holy Spirit gave me was, well, the statement that he gave me was, repent for giving people's God's responsibilities, because God is a jealous God.
Mm.
Right? Like, I want to heal you. I want to make you whole. Mm-hmm. I want to bring things to totality.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not marriage, not kids. I love to tell women this since we're here. And it's so funny because, you know, coming from me, it's like, girl, shut up. But I just want to say, as much as I love Brandon, as much as I love becoming a first-time mom, I don't think those are the things that make me Trinity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think so many times as women,
especially
when we're living unhealed, we expect those external factors, those different roles in society to give us identity.
Yep.
What only Christ can give you identity. You know what I mean?
They got mad at me for saying that because I said, when you get married, you lose your last name. And when you have a child, you lose your first name. Mm-hmm. And women were mad. Like, well, God, your first ministry is your family. I mean, some women were upset. And I'm like, God bless you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's the reality.
We
make those things our identity.
Absolutely. And it's not.
And it's not. And it's not. All right, guys, before we continue with this episode, I want to let you know that there is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There's a power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room to create demand for another Black-led brand. Black founders and products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart. For example, brands like the Lip Bar, the Doe Hair Care, and Scotch Porter Beard Balm. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine. All right, guys, back to the show.
And, you know, I think I mentioned this in the ebook, which one thing that women have in common, which is why we often find ourselves beefing, is that we live unhealed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so because I'm living unhealed, I'm often blaming, projecting, hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all of these things will heal me.
Mm-hmm.
If I expose you, like we live in this is the
exposure.
The era.
Oh, this
exposure
year.
Era. Like, you know, who's
next on Club Shay Shay?
Exactly. Right.
To expose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hope that it's me so I can expose the love of God. Because can we stop? Shannon, call me.
Please call your friend Trent so she can expose.
I'm sick of it. Oh, can we change it up a little bit? But I think that, you know, I'm going to tell you what I wrote yesterday morning because you really triggered that. We have this thing where we often place the responsibility of God on people.
Mm-hmm.
People can be godly. People cannot be God.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And my God brother, Terrence, told me that when I told him about what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me, he's like, you should check out 2 Kings. And so I went over there and I read about Naaman.
Mm-hmm.
And Naaman had leprosy. I think it's his 2 Kings around the 4th or 5th chapter. And I'm not giving this story verbatim, so read your Bible, friend.
Read your Bible.
But Naaman had leprosy, right? And so his wife had a servant, a handmaid, that told him that the king of Israel could heal him.
Mm.
And so he goes to the king of Israel for healing. And the king of Israel gets so upset that he tears his clothes. And he said, who am I? I'm not God. I can't give you life or death. I can't do that. And so the story goes on where Elisha, asks the king, why are you so upset? You know, send him to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Naaman ends up getting healed. He tells him to dip in the Jordan
seven times. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so what I find in that, I'm like, you know, a lot of people would say that the king was wrong, but I'm like, he's not. I wish that more people would say, I'm not able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to be that. You know, because I think when I think about some of my friendship failures, right, I think that I realized the people were leaning into me for something, mm-hmm. or I've leaned into people for something, mm-hmm. right? And I wish they had told me, and I wish I had said, I can't do that.
Mm. Yep.
You know?
Same.
Yeah.
Especially in the time, because when you're a mother, and like you said, you were the first to get married out of your friendship group.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same for me in some mm-hmm. of my relationships. And then when you become a mom
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of the first to do that,
yeah.
You're entering into a space. It's hard for your single friends to understand
mm-hmm.
that if there's not a lot of emotional maturity.
Yes.
Of that other friend to right. understand that transition.
Yeah.
And when I was, and especially going through divorce, it's just not something that I realized. Like, I saw my mom divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see her divorce my dad because they got divorced when I was like two. So I don't remember that. But she divorced my stepdad. So I went through that process at mm-hmm. 16. My mom and my stepdad were getting divorced at the same time as my dad and my stepmom.
Wow.
And I'm 16. So just think about being 16 years old, yeah. all those hormones, mm-hmm. all those feelings.
It's the hormones for me. That's number one, for sure.
I mean.
Yeah, for real.
Like, I think there's like a scientific fact that like 16-year-old females are clinically insane
yes.
uh-huh. at that age, right? And so I'm having two parents, sets of parents that are going through a divorce at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching this, and because my mom was so strong and like, mm-hmm. just a G. Like,
yeah.
she went to, like, has two master's degrees, worked full time, yeah. always provide, like, and just seeing her bounce back
uh-huh.
when it was time for me to get divorced.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I've seen this before. I saw my mom.
Did you feel like you can do it?
Absolutely. Because yeah. I saw my mom do it.
Uh-huh.
Of course I can do it. Did I want to do it? Absolutely not.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't celebrate divorce whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's tragic and it uh-huh. grieves the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not ever celebrating that, but I definitely thought like my mom did it. I know I can, mm-hmm. I can do it too. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't prepared for what the emotional and like spiritual mm-hmm. heaviness that comes along with divorce. I just wasn't prepared. And I wish I would have done a better job, like I said, at leaning into the intimacy
of God,
Yeah. than leaning into the intimacy of my friends. Because then when like you said, they have limits.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can't take on uh-huh. that heaviness
yeah.
in the way that only the Lord can.
Because
mm-hmm. he says, come to me, all those who are heavy and burdened. Yeah. I will give you rest.
Yes.
It doesn't say your friends won't give you rest.
Right, exactly.
Your friends can help carry you
absolutely.
To the one who mm-hmm. can give you rest.
Right.
And that is the type of friend that I desire to be going
absolutely.
Forward. And those are the type of friends that I desire to have going forward.
Yeah.
It's friends that are like, you down bad, sis. I can't help you, mm-hmm. but we're going to carry you on over
exactly.
to the one who can.
Exactly.
We're going to give you over to him.
And that's healthy friendship.
Yes.
Healthy friendship is not me taking it all on. It's not me coming, because I think too, because we forget that in a friendship, that if you're not a good friend to yourself, you can't be a good friend to anyone
mm.
else. So if I'm dropping what needs to happen for me, how am I going to make it happen for you? You know what I mean? It's impossible.
Yeah.
And so when I'm not able to cater to myself because I'm so focused, I've made this friendship an item, so focused on catering to you,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like, every time I'm going to find myself by myself.
Yep.
No matter how many people are around me.
Yep.
No matter how many people I know.
Yep.
You're still going to be in a room full of people feeling lonely.
Yep.
Because you're not taking care of yourself.
You got to deal with you.
Yeah, you got
to
deal with
you. You have to deal with you.
Yeah.
And another thing that was in your book that resonated with me is something that your mom had told, raised you, uh-huh. and was like, well, what did you do? always Girl. Holding you accountable. And okay. that was my
first of all, let's block Lowe's. I'll block her. So I'll block my mama because she just does the most.
I resonated with that so much because that was
my mom. Is the reason I'm so accountable, right? Yeah, that's just my truth. And you know, it's so funny because you think about how when I was a kid, when she would do things like that, I felt like she wasn't for me. Like,
yes,
like she wasn't on my side. Like, you're my
mom. It's like, you're my mom. Have my back. Please. What do you mean? What did I do?
No, she's like, okay, but how did you contribute to that? But what did you do? And like I said in the book, it's not even that she was teaching me to, she was not teaching me to be mad at people, but she was teaching me to take responsibility for how I engage in relationships.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because we have a responsibility for how we engage in relationships.
Yep.
You don't just go into relationships just with people, connections with people, friendships with people, whatever you want to. You don't just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've learned to not, especially in my adult life. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Because I think if you just go with the flow, if you don't set a pace for how you want to friend.
Yep.
And I say friend as a verb. If you don't set a pace for how you want to friend, then friendship will just be any old kind of way.
Mm.
And yeah, it's that doesn't give what it's supposed to give.
And we all have. The reason why I'm grateful for it now, because I relate to what you said, like I used to feel like, dang, my mom ain't never got my back.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older, I appreciate it because there are so many people that will take a relationship and when the relationship goes bad, it was all the other person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then this is what I hate when people do. Well, I'm just, the role that I played is I'm just too forgiving. And your only role is victim.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not true.
And you're not the victim.
You're not a victim. And I said this when my divorce was happening, I was like, I participated in that marriage.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a participant. Mm-hmm.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm not a victim of what happened. Yeah. I participated.
Yeah.
I played a role in something.
Yeah.
There's always a little bit of accountability.
And even if you are a quote-unquote the victim, right? Mm-hmm. In some sense, you're not the victim in totality. You're not the victim, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I, you know, that's how I felt too about my best friend. I made it all about her and what she did to me, right? But I didn't consider how some of the things I did could have made her feel this way.
Yeah.
I could have made her respond this way, even though they weren't the right things.
Yeah.
I did not consider, you can even say that for your marriage.
Yep.
You can say, he did this to me. You know, I'm not coming for you, friend, if you watch it. But if you howl out for you call that man a B and he call you one back, don't start crying. Don't do that.
Because what did you, what role did you play exactly. in that type of response?
I can't believe you spoke to me like that. Okay, but you literally just emasculated this man. You just, you know what I'm saying? You open the door and everybody doesn't, listen, everybody doesn't have the strength to show up in a place that you are weak. If you weak there, I'm going to be weak too. You got some people like that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, I'm trying. I don't want to go there. But you know, if you yeah. invite me, I might accept the invite. You know what I'm saying?
So, you RSVP?
Yeah. I might just RSVP. So I think, too, a lot of times, oh, especially as believers, Meg, I think people will try us in a way because they feel like, this. I don't know why I'm having all these thoughts. But listen, I feel like people will try us in a way because they don't expect us to respond mm-hmm. in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we respond that way, once we say no.
They question your.
Yeah, they, mm-hmm. they question your belief.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, too, as believers, we have to be, I'm not saying respond how people respond. I think we have to be secure in our decisions when we say, yeah, I'm not taking it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. Me as a believer and a friend, a really good friend, I feel so guilty for saying, I don't want this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I think I went through a friendship breakup about 2 years ago. It was so hard for me.
Mm.
It was really, really hard for me because I just felt that sense of guilt.
Mm.
I felt like...
You were the one that detached? Or was it kind of like it was just happening?
I think the more the Lord revealed to me, it was just like, I don't want to be in this kind of friendship.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I just don't want that, right? But it's also hard for me because I felt like I was a friend they needed in a sense that, like, faith.
Mm.
Like, your friend, your... I was, you know, I wanted to do what the king of Israel couldn't do.
Mm.
You know what I mean? In some sense. And I feel like they were leaning on me, like Naaman.
Mm.
Like, they depended on me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they, you know, it's a particular passage of scripture where Jesus goes to, I can't remember the city, but they want him to heal. They want him to deliver. They mm-hmm. want him to, he's like, I can't do it here.
Mm.
And it's so funny. Every time I think about that passage, I can't remember exactly where it is right now. I think about how so often times it's not that we're incapable or we don't want to be that to people, is that we don't have to be that to people who do not value what God is
yeah.
placing in our lives.
Yeah.
Like, they always devalue it. Yeah. In a sense. And Jesus didn't exclude himself from healing, helping, yep. saving anyone. But he just knew that he couldn't even operate in that space because of the belief that people had about him, right? And sometimes people can believe you for the positive thing and then hate you. They'll create this narrative, and not even a negative thing. They'll just create this narrative around you. And even though I don't like that about, even though I don't like that you're the savior, I still want you to heal me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I hate that you are, like, I can't stand that it's you, but I still want, but since you got the ability. And like, when I say,
ooh-wee. What is that?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Because, I don't know why, but I understand exactly what you're saying. Like, uh-huh. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really don't even like me.
Exactly.
You don't like, but you like what I carry. Mm-hmm. You like what I can do for you.
Absolutely.
And not in the sense of do for you, like physically do for you.
And then you want to hold me bound to do it because you know my relationship with God, and you know that I'm a believer. And so you want to make me bound to, in some sense, like not bound to my belief, but bound to who I say I am.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't do this, then you're not really this.
But, yeah.
But regardless of how you are negating who I
yeah.
am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think so many things that we can unpack, Meg.
Can I share one thing with you that yeah. really hurt me, or not hurt me, but it does. Well, it does hurt me. It has hurt me in previous relationships.
Yeah.
But I always felt like, and maybe you can help me unpack like what this means
okay.
as a friend, but I've always felt like when it comes to the great things that I can do mm-hmm. in relationships, right?
Yeah.
That was fine. Like, okay, you do great things, whatever. But the areas where I fell short, mm-hmm. my flaws, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm human.
Right, right.
And trash without God.
Yeah.
And the further I'm away from him, the more trash I am.
Smelly.
I get smelly. I mean, I'm talking like teenage boy underarms,
right,
no
right.
deodorant. Yeah. It's bad,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
The further I am from God. And I realized last year, As I developed more intimacy with him, I realized how far I was away from him.
Wow.
Before. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, I feel like sometimes in relationships, what I've experienced is like the great qualities about myself and how I can show up and anticipate the needs and do all those things. Those were great. Mm-hmm. But then when the trash part of me came up, mm-hmm. I was bound to that. That was who I was. Mm-hmm. But the good parts of me was just what I did.
Do you mean that's who you were to that person?
To that person. Like, instead of saying, like, the bad things about you are who you are, the good things are just what you do. Instead of
this
the good
who
things.
You always were.
This is like, instead of looking at you and saying, this is just who you are, mm-hmm. the good parts about you, that is who you are too.
Yeah.
And the bad parts about you, yes, that is obviously I'm observing this behavior. So that
it's
is
so
who you are too.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes in relationships when we're offended.
Yeah, I've been convicted of that for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's just that we see the negative and that's who you are. And we forget.
Yeah.
That's just a part of who they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Like we're all flawed.
We're all yeah. flawed.
I definitely experienced that with my best friend. I think I made the mistakes that she made who she was.
Yeah.
Regardless of my experience with her. Yeah, we don't really recall our experience with people once we're hurt.
Yeah.
We filter everything through that hurt
offense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the kicker of that is we end up releasing people from our lives that aren't necessarily time to release. It's not what God is calling us to do.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. How do you know when in the right time, how to identify a toxic relationship, a friendship? And if it's a relationship that needs to end,
yeah.
or we just need to reevaluate how we show up in this relationship. Because like you said, sometimes it's not like you have to end it. We just gonna do our relationship different now.
Yeah, right. I think conversation. We need to have more conversations. We need to talk. I think
not subliminal on not
yes,
tweeting out stuff.
Women, yeah. I think we do a great job at assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like for real.
Mm-hmm.
I think even if I was to just use my best friend as an example, maybe she could have assumed Trinity's not going to like show up for me like she used to because she's married now.
Mm-hmm.
So, instead of like having a conversation, like, what does our friendship look like now?
Mm-hmm.
It comes with emotional maturity, like you said. Like we're navigating into different spaces, right? Where I'm no longer a pre-K through fifth grade music teacher where I'm home all the time and I'm off on weekends and I'm off on spring break. Actually now, I do this and this is how my life is navigating and I travel a lot. I do mm-hmm. this. So our friendship looks different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think that means that. I think what we do is we take our different seasons and we take things personal that aren't personal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not personal. It's not personal.
Yeah.
And I think we do that because we don't want to have conversations, we're afraid, we're intimidated.
Yeah.
We're afraid to be rejected in some sense.
Yeah.
But a lot of us have questions that we just be honest, especially as women. We have questions for our friends, but we're afraid to talk.
Yeah. You have to talk. I said this, I can tell you what it is.
We've always been encouraged not to talk from school into adulthood.
Be quiet.
I have mm-hmm. I was a teacher, so I hated that. I hated because I felt like it played into children who needed to say something but were afraid to talk.
Wow.
I haven't finished writing this theory. I always tell Brandon, I'll be finished with it by the time I'm 40. I'm 33 now, so I got 7 years. I'm working on this. But I think that it really plays a big part of that. People don't say this anymore, but I know I'd be the mom to say stay in a child's place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in context, sometimes child, when I heard that kind of the thing like stay in a child's place, mm-hmm. it meant I can't speak to this.
Mm.
I can't say what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, you know, I'm afraid that I will, if this offends somebody,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not gonna say it. Like, mm-hmm. I think it may, you know, and that plays into our adulthood.
Yeah.
And it's something that we have to work to undo.
Yeah.
We have to, like, we really do, because
yeah.
I'm telling you, it really plays into our mental and how we perceive conversation. It really does.
Yeah.
Somebody's always telling us, has always told, especially millennials, be quiet.
Quiet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think the reason why so many relationships are, and we're seeing it like crazy,
uh-huh.
like not just like we're seeing marriages fall apart. We're seeing friendships fall apart.
Absolutely.
It's like I'm in my DMs all the time. Like I had my friend 20 years and we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
And it's been the hardest, like all these things. And friendship and relationships end because when people just stop talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we have to continue the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's like we fall in love with each other.
Yeah.
Romantically and platonically, and then we just stop talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
We stopped saying.
And we've been doing life together. Like literally doing life together.
And we're not talking.
Yeah.
And
it's
like,
traumatic.
It is. It is. And I want to do better. Like, I, you know, I'm so thankful that I have Jay and Jordan that are like the closest people to me right now.
Yeah.
And I'm able to really put into practice all the ways that I just was not a good friend before. Yeah. And I can put it into practice in real time. And one of my biggest things is feeling something and saying something. I was our only child.
Yeah.
So I'm used to feeling things and just being quiet.
Yeah.
And just internalizing it.
Right.
And my mom.
Do you know sometimes that we make those people who internalize things bad friends? They're not necessarily bad friends. So they just don't know how to communicate. Okay. So.
So when I was listening to your book, I thought I identify with the ghoster and a small part of the one. What was the one that was? Yeah, the ghoster that doesn't want to take it. Not you avoiding accountability.
Yeah.
And
I just remember the line.
No, I did. That was the first thing. I was like, girl, not you avoiding accountability. I was like, oh, and I, for me, it wasn't so much avoiding the accountability because I can take accountability for something, but I can't deal with rejection. I cannot deal with that. Yeah. I can't deal with telling you how I feel and it getting dismissed. Mm-hmm. That's when I'll ghost you.
Okay.
That's when I'll be like, I'm going to make you, because my words obviously aren't enough. I think subconsciously that's how I used to think. Like, my words aren't enough. So I'm going to show you in my actions how I feel.
Yeah.
That, and I hate it being fake. Mm-hmm. I could not fathom the idea of smiling in your face knowing that I'm having an issue with you, but I haven't been able to gather my words to articulate to you what my offense is.
Yeah.
So, but I can't be fake at the same time. But that's not maturity.
I think
that's not, that was me being immature.
So I think you get, I give you grace to ghost.
Okay.
I give you grace to ghost because sometimes I think, a lot of times the ghoster gets the bad rap for not showing up, for going away, right? But I think a lot of times we don't take accountability as it pertains to the person trying and then our response to them trying and that being a blow.
Yes, yeah. It is devastating. I don't think people it feels like rejection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it feels like the ultimate rejection.
Yeah.
Because one, I think because I am a person that can anticipate the needs for other people means that I have gotten into a practice of ignoring my own. And so then when I get to a place of being vulnerable and saying, hey, this actually hurt me.
Yeah.
And then you're like, girl, it is not that deep. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, no.
It's like.
It's absolutely as deep for me. I think too. You asked me, when do we know if we should transition in our relationships to like a different season for our friendship?
Or if it should end.
I think for me, what I've done is personally, I was telling Brandon that sometimes in relationships, right, we think of friendship in the sense that it can only be this way.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be one way
mm-hmm.
or no way, mm-hmm. right? The friendship only works like this, like in this space. But, you know, man, I ain't even going to hold you. I made a lot of transitional things, a lot of transitional, what can I say?
Friendships.
How do I say this? Let me see.
There's tissue if you need tissue.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, wait. Help, Holy Ghost.
There you go.
I made some big decisions as it pertains to friendship, especially like in the last year or two of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why my content has continued the way it has.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been very transparent there because I feel like, you know, to be very honest with you, I've been evolving a lot. Like, my life has changed so fast, quickly.
Yeah.
And I look at people and how they respond to the space that I'm in, and I decide then I don't even got to have a conversation with them. It's not me ghosting them. I just know if it's worth it or not, you know? And I'm like, okay, so
I don't think this will go here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing better at accepting things for what they are instead of trying to create a new narrative for a friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not really how she feels.
Yeah.
Well, that's really not how she is or whatever. Yeah, I'm doing much better at that. So this is what I'm trying to say. I have friends. I've had friends who would be upset that when I walked in the room, somebody want to take a picture with me. And I can't change who I am. I can't show up as a different person. I can't turn off my personality
or turn my face off.
Or turn my face off. I'll turn my body off. I'm a fit girl. Girls come up to me and be like, "Yo, you are fine." You know what I mean?
Because she is.
I can't. Thanks, but I really can. You know, for a while, I wanted to, in some sense, like accommodate those things.
Mm.
I can't live accommodating those kind of things.
Yeah.
And so, while it may have surprised me, I am so for the people in my life right now who do not, quite frankly, give a flying flip about Trinity, and like they care about me, but they don't care about me.
Not in that way.
Not in that way. Like they're not pressed at all. You know?
Yes.
Like, so serious. Yes. I told a friend I was out eating with a friend, and it kind of, because I had started feeling this sense of guilt when people would like be like, "Yo, I want to take a picture with you," or something like that. I started feeling this sense of guilt. I was out with a friend, and the wild person was asking me to literally, they went to their car and they got a book. They wanted me to sign their book, my first book, Now Not Next. The girl wanted to take a picture with me. She started telling me about how she went on her weight loss journey because of me, all the things. And this is a minimum, me and my friend's interaction. My friend is sitting there the whole time just eating, like, going on. You need help?
Right. I'll take the picture.
Yeah. And, you know, I said, I think my eyes are so fixed on the people who are not accepting me in this season that I have not put my eyes on the people who don't care. Like, they're so for it. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
So I've just learned to accept the responses for what they are.
Yeah.
I think I've been guilty of trying to create a new narrative. Or using their childhood as an excuse for their behavior.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that it doesn't impact it, but this is something that comes with me understanding that Meg is not the reason that I feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so projecting it and making it about you and so forth, you know, I'm just kind of like growing into this space where I'm really paying attention to how people respond to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's taking inventory is my big thing. Like, take inventory.
Yeah.
Like, that is important in deciding where to place people.
Absolutely.
And that's something that my mom was teaching me a lot lately. Like, she was like, "Megan, you just have to know where to place people."
Yeah, you do.
Everyone doesn't have to be in the same, hold the same space for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. You've got to know where people go.
You have to know where to place them. You have to know how to place people in your life.
Yeah.
And I think the way that you went about this book and how it's, y'all, the audio, I'm telling you, it's the audio for me. It doesn't, you have such a gentleness in delivering this that it renders your attention to focus on your own heart.
You know what's funny about that gentleness? It started from a place of wrath. Mean Girl started from a place of wrath. I was upset. I was really frustrated with Mean Girls, right? And just experiencing things that I didn't think go in adulthood.
Yeah.
Or things that I didn't think go with other women who are believers.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? Like, can you, because I know, because you said this book is for, you didn't want, because at the end, the Holy Ghost was like, go on and add this in there. You didn't want it. You were like, "I didn't want to go here," but because you wrote the book to be for anybody, whether they were a believer or not.
Right.
But I do believe if you could do a mean church girl manual, because because that's a whole nother thing.
Yes.
The Bible gives us instructions on how we should handle discord and conflict.
Yeah.
And we cannot say that we're women of God and we're cutting people off.
Absolutely.
We're not taking the proper measures of going to this person with the offense. And if they're not listening, then going getting another friend.
The offense is not even a real offense. The offense when a lot of women are just intangible. It's an intangible offense. And when I say that, I mean, like, you offend me because you're Megan. And you walk in that strength. You walk in that power. You know who you are. And that offends me.
Wow. But who's mature enough to admit that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
So what we do is, as women, often unhealed women, I would say that, it's because that's what a mean girl is, an unhealed woman, mm-hmm. an unhealed adult woman. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we start to make things about Megan. We act like Megan is the issue. We'll even create something. And when I say that, I mean, like for instance, the Little Miss, I just don't like her. She don't know why she don't like you. She actually does like you, but she doesn't like mm-hmm. you. And so she'll create this thing.
And don't say it's discernment, because sometimes it don't be. It's not that.
That anointing right out they have is not. It's not. It's not that discernment. It's not. You're upset that I'm beautiful and you don't feel beautiful. I'm confident within myself. Wow. You're upset that I'm pursuing what God has given me to pursue, and you are scared to pursue it. And so seeing me is a constant reminder to you of what you feel like you lack. So Jesus. In the Mean Girl manual, I say that we're upset with what other people possess mm-hmm. because we don't think we had a potential for it. Mm. And so what I need to do now, if I'm a woman who struggles with seeing other women step into their power, mm-hmm. I need to understand that that's not just for her, but that's for me.
Yeah.
And that when I see her, that's a reflection of me.
Yes.
And not showing me what I can't do or what I can't have. You know what I mean?
So good.
So I think just because of the nature of womanhood, we've yeah. been taught to go against one another. It's society. We've been taught to compete with one another, but whether it's our weight, the length of our hair, especially Black girls, the texture mm-hmm. of our hair. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, this is not good hair. To a lot of people, this is not good hair, right? And so I find myself jealous of a girl who has a different kind of texture, softer uh-huh. texture hair, uh-huh. or, you know, whatever. Seriously, like, it can be so petty, so minute, so stupid, so little, but it's literally innate in so many women to look at the next woman and say, something about her I just don't like. So it's a constant undoing. Because you know, it's so funny that, do you know that the enemy teaches us to eliminate who God calls us to, who God places in our lives to elevate our lives? I want to be Meg Frank, it's her podcast bigger than mine. I'm so serious. I don't want to be Meg's friend because she's connected to a realm of people that I'm not yet connected to, so it makes me feel little. I feel inferior. You know what I'm saying? Even though Meg is welcoming, she's beautiful, she's kind, she's caring, she's willing to teach me anything she knows, but I have this belief that if I connect to that kind of woman, that I won't shine, I won't matter.
And that just breaks my heart that people feel that. And I get it. Mm-hmm. I get how easy it is.
Yeah.
Because once you leave a door open, a crack open, the enemy come
absolutely.
In, you can do.
Absolutely.
I mean, so I get how it can happen.
Yeah.
But it's just, it grieves me.
It is.
Because, man, what we could do together.
What we could do together, right? Absolutely. I don't even have a thought in mind when it comes to the next woman, what she could do better than me. I think for me, if there's anything that I feel like I don't possess that you possess, it excites me.
Yeah.
Right?
And it should.
Yeah, it excites me.
It
and
should.
I'm grateful for that because I know so many people struggle with that. We even live in a society where women will try to convince themselves they're confident, and you can literally see them trying to convince themselves that they're not intimidated, they're like whatever, but they still mean. They're confident, but they mean, you're not mean and confident. Period. But they'll try to come. I'm a very confident person, but you're mean to other women.
Oh, man.
You're not confident. You're not.
Man.
You're not. And so I think, too, in the Mean Girl manual, what I want people to see is not just other people.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she probably do stink. Like, she probably do got a bad attitude. She probably did do something really bad.
Yeah.
She probably did. But a lot of times, it's just us.
It's us.
It's us. And, I never went into the Mean Girl manual thinking that I was going to write about Kalisha.
Really?
No. Discovering I was a mean girl, the portion of that book was the Holy Spirit like, oh, you thought she's going to come write about so-and-so, 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 because these are the instances that you, yeah, read me to filth, baby. Read me to filth. It was sitting in my hotel room, ex-brand crying.
crying.
Oh my gosh. Because I'm thinking that was the reason why you wrote it.
No, no. I just thought about, no, the reality of it was, Meg, to be honest with you, the Holy Spirit gave me an assignment. Since you so mad about me, girls, let's teach people how to better treat one another. Mm. Right? And then I got into it and it was like, oh.
I'm going to show you you.
I'm going to show you you. And yeah.
Isn't that so crazy how that's, because that's what God did for me last year. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm out of this marriage. Like, yeah. You know, I'm free. I'm out the da-da. And God was like, yeah, we still going to deal with you. Mm-hmm. I might have released you out of that, but you still got it. There's this work that you still got. Like, we still going to deal with you.
I really admire you so much. Because I don't know that you have gone through. How long has it been since you've been divorced?
It'll be a year next month.
Okay, so you've gone through a divorce in this last year. You've gone through a national breakup.
Not a national.
Yeah, like for real. National. How are you still standing? How, like, what has that been? Like, because, you know, it's one thing to, like, go through a divorce with your best friend and your husband, right? And then it's another to go through a divorce with your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you
at the same time, almost at the same time, kind of just going through it. Yeah. At the same time. I literally, the most cheesy response is the truth. The Lord.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I would not have made it had I not leaned into the intimacy with him.
Yeah.
But I also realized that it was my wilderness season. Like he said, I see it now so much as a mercy. Like, Megan, I just love you so much.
Yeah.
And I was willing to do whatever it took to get you to this place of intimacy so that you knew who you were and who I called you to be. And so that you didn't have to walk around offended, so that you could know that you're loved and that you can, show my love to other people.
Were you ever mad at God in the process?
Oh, angry.
Yeah.
Hurt. Mm-hmm. Because why did you do all that to bring me here? Like, I thought this was going to be my season. This is my year. Like, this was going to be my time to, like, be free and, like, live my best life. Mm-hmm. So I was angry. I was hurt. I was confused. I still don't really know why. Mm-hmm. But I trust him. Yeah. Because when I didn't have any way of figuring out how I was going to get out of the bed, he was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the more I leaned into him,
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
When you say you didn't know how you were going to get out of bed, that got me. Because I think sometimes we only think that's possible with our husbands and our men. But girl, you hurt my feelings. And girl,
what? Girl, it, no, that was worse than the divorce.
I'm telling you.
That was
I believe you.
Maybe because our marriage was falling apart for a long time and I was somewhat prepared.
Yeah.
That I wasn't prepared for. So maybe that to, you know, made it worse, but it cut way deeper.
Yeah.
It felt like, uh-huh. I mean, and because there's so much was invested and, you know, I moved my whole life down here, my kids, my husband, like, you know, it was part of why my marriage fell apart. It was what, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
And so it felt worse. And
it probably felt like too, like in some sense, going through a divorce, navigating divorce, and going through this with your best friend, it's almost like the person that you would expect to be here for you is now also leaving you.
Oh, yeah. And hates you. Yeah. So, you know, that it's like it was the worst. It still doesn't feel good.
The grieving process.
Yeah. And I think I'll be grieving this, you know, for some time. But I do know that it would be impossible without the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be impossible without him.
How has the forgiveness process been for you in grieving? Because I feel like sometimes you can grieve and like you can get upset.
Yep.
Like you can get triggered.
Yep, easily.
In the grieving process. But then you can be forgiving. But in the forgiveness portion of it, you're like, I was so dumb. I should have paid attention to that. Right? I was so stupid.
I think reading your book or listening to the audio.
Yeah.
I was more aware of things that I was like, oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Oh, like, and kind of feeling kind of dumb, like, well, how did you not see that, Megan? Like, how do you not see that? How didn't you see that? And, you know, but God's grace and mercy, it all happened. Like, I have to always appeal to the thought of nothing is, God's not caught off guard by anything.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not, you know what I'm saying? And so he's sovereign and he's good. Mm-hmm. And the pain is the pain. Mm-hmm. But I think, honestly, I read the Beta Satan right as everything was happening in May of last year. And that helped with the forgiving.
Yeah.
Because who am I not to forgive?
Right, right.
Like,
right.
Who am I not
even
to forgive?
Even if I don't understand.
Even if I don't get it. Yeah. Even if you're hurting me. Uh-huh. Even if you're lying on me. Even if you are just being mean to me.
Yeah.
Like, who am I not to forgive when our Savior
yes.
pushed up and has his spine exposed, rubbing yes. up against this splinter beam to right. say, forgive them, yeah. for they know not what they do. Who am I
right.
not to forgive? And I also know that a lot of things aren't because of me. I can take accountability for my role all yes. day. I wasn't a good friend in some areas. Uh-huh. I bled out on my friends. Uh-huh. I was mean and at times where I was hurt.
Do you feel like you really bled out on your friends? Because I asked this because...
I think it was perceived that way.
In this culture, everybody wants to claim that they're like low maintenance friends, but none of us are low maintenance.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, yeah. We want to feel seen.
Yeah.
We want to feel validated.
Yeah.
We want people to show us that we're heard. That yeah. We're cared for. Like, we need that, right?
Yeah.
I do think there's, in some sense, we can bleed on people in the sense that we place God's responsibility on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think in that sense, but I think also sometimes we take on the, and I'm just, you know, we take on this role of, because they rejected us, we bled.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I have a hard time with, like, if there's any area of accountability on me, I'll probably take most of the blame for it.
Okay.
Like, I'll just take all the blame.
Okay.
If I know, because if I know in any, and like I said, everybody has a responsibility,
absolutely.
Right? So I know I played a role.
Yeah.
Just like in my marriage, I know I played a role.
Yeah.
And so then I feel like I then can accept the abuse of certain behavior
uh-huh.
because, well, I mean, I did. So instead of being like, I don't know, I guess it's hard for me to know, did I bleed out or was I just hurt? Like, I was just a friend that was hurt and going through a divorce. I don't know.
I was just about to say that because
I don't know.
Because, like, that's what I feel. I feel like, and I'm not pacifying you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there are people, I know I've been one, to expect things of people that they cannot
absolutely
give us, right?
Guilty.
But I also think that I've been made to feel guilty about being in a place of a desert place.
Yeah.
You know, where I really needed my community of people. And because, you know, because sometimes, you know, especially in female friendships, well, they be feeling the way before we get exposed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've never liked me. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
You never liked me.
Yeah.
My friend is not just my friend. That's a calling. That's a yes. purpose.
They
and I can't treat
and they
that.
They don't become common because we broke up. Now, I know that sounds crazy.
Okay.
But they don't become common because we broke up. I don't get to dishonor you.
I don't get to dishonor you. Oh,
I don't get to act like God
man.
Didn't place you in my life, that God didn't assign you to my life, that you didn't show up in some way, in some capacity that changed
my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to act like you come because we broke up. Mm-mm. My feelings hurt. I miss you. And God is dealing with me over here.
Over here.
Yeah. But I refuse to make the grieving process worse by acting like you not who you were.
Yeah.
Because I'm mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. We could talk about this all day. I know the team is like, I ain't even putting up a flash
it's
no more. Forget it. I know they
quite
sick
frankly,
of it. I'm sorry, y'all.
I appreciate you.
But this was so good.
Yeah,
and thank you because it brought so much, again, like healing and just peace. Mm-hmm. I can't really explain it. It was just peace. Like I listened to it and I was like, okay, Lord, those were the areas where I needed to be better. There are the areas where I wasn't a good friend. Mm-hmm. There's the areas where I just wasn't a good woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Forget the friend part. I just wasn't a good person, you know?
Stuff that I hadn't dealt with, right? But sometimes, like, when we don't deal with things, we make other people deal with
it. Yeah. And the book just brought... So listen, when the audio comes out, y'all are going to be blessed. But the book is available now.
Yes.
So go get it. Please tell them where they can find it.
My ebook, The Mean Girl Manual, She Don't Like You, and That's Okay, is available on my website at yourfriendtran.com. I think that this book is a book for women who aspire to heal, find individuality, and have a desire to uplift other women. Whether you struggle with female friendships that are just like people or even family members, maybe it's your mom, maybe your aunt, and you really just don't know how to deal with them, there's a character for somebody.
Yes.
That will help you learn to love better. Not for you to go and be like, you know, oh yeah, this is her. No, but an opportunity for you to get to know them better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pray that this book blesses you. I pray that it changes your perspective. And I pray that when you finish this book, that you feel like you have a responsibility to show up as a healed version of yourself.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for writing that book and saying yes to God, because I know that was hard to write, and your vulnerability and transparency was refreshing, needed, and convicting in a good way, in the most positive way.
You know what hurt me the most about that book? What? When I think about Kalisha and I had to go back and write it, I always said, I'm done. I'm not gonna take so bad. I'm done. So that's why I'm done. Like, you know, like, I'll say done.
Okay. I'm not gonna say that no more.
Because I remember feeling like I'm done.
Yeah.
When I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. And God showed me that He'll be the one to tell me when I'm done.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do better, because I told you gathered me the other day and gather me again. That's fine. But thank you for coming. Thank you guys for listening, and send this to a friend. Send it to a friend maybe that you're having a conflict with. Send it to a friend that you haven't talked to in a while. Send it to your friends that you are good with to keep your friendships healthy. And go get Trinity's book and send it to everybody you know. Send it to your auntie, your uncles, everybody. Men need it too.
Yeah.
Send it to, I don't care. Send it to the men. They need it too. Send it to everybody. Yeah. There's some mean girls and some men. I've seen some mean girl behavior in men.
Absolutely.
I have. Okay. So make sure you guys go check it out. Trinity, thank you so much. You're welcome. We'll see you guys next week.
Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.